The Outer Rim. The Final Frontier. These are the news stories of the Outer Rim. To explore strange new fandoms. To seek out new life and new science fiction. To boldly go where no fan has gone before.
Not good.
Blast!
Look, don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me.
That's just great.
Now, discussing the news on the edge of fandom.
Set your hyperdrive motivator for full throttle.
Chewie, get us out of here!
We're headed to the Outer Rim.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Outer Rim. This is number 51. We're recording this on Thursday, June 30th, 2016. And we are, well, we haven't done a show in about a week or so, right? Did we have last week off? Did we skip something somewhere? It feels like we haven't recorded together in a while.
Well, I was not here last week.
Yeah. Yeah, we took a week off of
that's
Echo Base.
Right, yep.
And then this week's Echo Base was late. And then I think we took a week off of Random Chatter, and then we did the movie draft.
We released that late. Yep.
And then this week we're doing Echo Base and Outer Rim on Thursday instead of Random Chatter. But it's summer, and
you know, I am setting my schedule. You guys are throwing me off here.
I know, and and we're throwing off the live shows too. That's the worst part. We went from having a good turnout to the live shows to now they're so confused they don't know when to.
Yeah, I think it's us in the chat room and maybe a couple people.
Yeah, so. That's okay. In July, things are going to be back to normal schedule-wise, and we'll be fine.
That is true. That is true. So now, is it posted yet, or will it be posted the next day or so, our summer movie draft that we recorded?
That is posted already.
Nice. Yes. Okay, so yeah, everybody go out there and check that out. This is our, as Eric likes to say, our first real version of the draft.
Yes, the beta didn't
count. Second version, because I am still winning the first one. So
now we had a change of plans at the last minute, and I apologize for it. We had some of the staff members couldn't make it, and so we blended the staff members and the Patreon stuff kind of into one movie draft.
Right.
So that's all the main movie draft there. And then we are still doing an audience participation one. And what we're going to do to make up for it is I think we're going to get a little bit better prize for the audience participation one.
Okay.
I don't know what the prize is going to be yet, but instead of some little trinkety thing, I think maybe we'll get something a little bit more substantial.
Is that going to be a live draft, or is that where we pick our movies based on what we had bid?
That.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be. I'm going to have the details posted soon, and I'm also going to have the spreadsheet up with the list of what was actually bid on the different films. But the basic explanation, if you listen to this here, you won't really need to read it on the website. The basic explanation is you will have 100 credits. And I don't know if it'd be fair to throw in extra stuff for the Patreon donors or not, but, because that's not really fair to the, okay. So because we changed what we were going to do with the Patreon stuff, here's what we're going to do. The Patreon donors, the winner of that will get a prize. And then the non-Patreon donors will also get a prize for the audience members there. That way it's fair for everybody. We're good to go. No worries. So the rule is basically you're going to have 100 credits to spend. Now, these are just fictional dollars. It's not real money. And you're going to look at what was actually bid on the different films. And you are going to then spend those 100 credits however you want in that collection of films. At the end of the summer, whoever comes up with the biggest box office total for domestic U.S. box office wins. Now, you don't have to be in the U.S. to play. Okay, you just have to be somewhere in the world to which we can ship the prize without a lot of, like, customs hassle. I mean, I don't really care where on the planet you live, frankly. So, you know, Canada, New Zealand, Zimbabwe, it's all good.
New Zealand, if the network can swing it, I'll deliver the prize personally.
We would need a couple more Patreon donors for that, I think.
Just thought I'd throw that out there.
I'll take that into consideration.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's going to happen is you're going to spend that, and you're going to submit a list or a spreadsheet or a form that we'll fill out. I'll come up with the actual logistics of that soon. But basically, you're going to submit a form with what your choices are, how you spent that 100 credits. You don't have to spend all 100, but you only get that 100, and you don't get any bonus for whatever's left over at the end of it. There will inevitably be ties. And what's going to happen is, of the people who tie at the top, we will randomly select the winner. So that's how it's going to work. We are going to take whoever makes the largest box office in domestic U.S. out of their purchases. We are going to take everyone that is at that exact dollar point. If multiple people chose the same exact films, then we will randomly select a winner from that group. And then there will be a separate winner for the Patreon group as well. The only benefit to them will just be that it's a smaller pool of people from whom to win. And by the way, that will be anyone who was a Patreon donor actively at any point during this summer month. Just nice. To be clear.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I like that. And I can actually play that one too.
No.
Well, I can nope. still play. I won't be able
you
to.
You can play. Prize, no, but... yeah, you can play. Absolutely. Yeah, you just won't get to win. Staff is not.
Don't take away all my fun. Come on.
I know. Actually, I may go back and play too, because like then I get to undo some of the mistakes I made.
Oh, come on. Mistakes?
Yeah. No. Like we should have like a staff second tier draft. Well, because a lot of the other staff members didn't get to play too.
That's very true, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll have our own little internal, I don't know what we would call, we need a name for it, like the aftermarket draft or...
Yeah, I like that, aftermarket draft, yeah.
Fantasy movie league, or I don't know. You guys come up with something. Either not you sure. two or have, the audience.
Us name it, okay.
I don't care. Well, the audience can name it too. If somebody comes up with a good name, I'll take it, I don't care. So that's it with that's what's going on with the summer draft. It cool. looks like, you know, Finding Dory, we're going to talk about it here in a few minutes. It's still doing really, really, really well, but I still don't think it's going to do well enough to help Mike beat you out for the spring draft. So I think it's pretty well determined that you have won.
Nice.
The beta.
The first.
I'm sorry. Movie draft. The first. Random
the first
Cheddar
random Cheddar movie draft.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll have my name will be the first name on the new trophy we're coming up with.
Yeah.
I started working on it last weekend. I'll finish up this weekend. I can't wait to take pitch this thing and
I can't wait to see it.
Get it up online for everybody to see. And you know, of course, first pitch will be with me holding it. You know, so
we are also well, of course.
He just ignored that. You know, you see
I
that,
did.
Chris?
I did. I tried to just, you know, blow right on through it. What we're also going to do. Some people have been asking about some of the static web pages on the randomcheddar.com website, such as about the staff and about the shows and this and that. And, you know, we figured that some of the staff have lengthy histories in podcasting and have been with other networks. There's still the history of... the last few years of the Forcecast Network kind of tie in directly with us and some of the shows and things like that. So what we've done, we've set up a little wiki at randomcheddar.com. It's not officially live yet, but if you go to wiki.randomcheddar.com, you can get in there. What we're going to do, we are going to set aside a section of it for the movie draft, and we are going to keep an archive of each of the different seasons going forward. And we'll have the results. I'll write up kind of like a blog entry, kind of a summary of how things went and the different interesting things that happened to each season. For example, Chris kind of getting screwed out in the first one with all the direct-to-video releases and things like that. So, we're going to, rather than posting... stuff on the website. You know, we have so many podcast episodes posted to the website, and then we're also going to want to expand review coverage, movie reviews, video game reviews, music reviews, Chris.
Yes.
Things like that.
Can't wait for those.
So we really want the website to be content driven. So when it comes to a lot of the more referencey sort of things, I think we're going to move that stuff onto the wiki, and then it's easy for that stuff to cross reference each other. And then, you know, listeners too, if there's something that needs to be corrected, if you create an account, you can hop in and edit the wiki. And, you know, as long as it doesn't ever get like heavily abused, we won't shut it down. We'll leave it open to the public, and, you know, you guys can go in and do stuff. So.
Well, that can be scary.
You know what? And this is a mistake, me saying this.
If anybody increases my age,
I trust our users.
I'm going to be mad.
We can blame it on Joel.
I'm already old enough.
There you go. All right. Anyway, that's all I got.
Okay, cool.
I have a funny feeling you want.
Before we get into, you know, the news this week, I have a little gripe I'd like to maybe share with everybody. This past week, or yesterday, actually, right? Yesterday? Yeah, yesterday.
Yes.
New York City Comic Con tickets went on sale. I was like, yeah, okay, nice. So it was, you had to be fan verified ahead of time. You got the email with a special link just for you. You know, here's your personal link. Don't use it on too many browsers because it may block you. So just, you know, use it once and buy your tickets and you'll be done. Okay, good. Tickets on sale yesterday at 12 noon. So I was at work, of course, and I couldn't really use the work computer. So I had my phone kind of on my desk next to me, and grab the browser and hit it. And okay, it said, okay, it'll update automatically. Don't hit refresh. It won't help you. It may hurt you. So, okay, I'll just leave it. Excuse me. And, you know, it was 12:03 when I hit the go button. So I was 3 minutes late. And I guess there was probably 100,000 people ahead of me in those 3 minutes because tickets were gone. And I'm just thinking to myself, okay, so this is their new process for being fan verified. We're trying to get tickets in the hands of fans, not scalpers. Which I applaud. I think, you know, that you need to get into a process that we can get around that. So, yeah, paying, you know, $400 or $500 for a 3-day pass. But they need to do something different than they did, because I'm waiting for the screen update. It's showing me updates now of, well, you know, a half hour in, 3-day passes are 50% sold out and 4-day passes are 25% sold out. And very quickly, within an hour, 3 and 4 day passes were gone. And my browser hadn't updated. I know Chris was doing his thing too, and his browser hadn't updated. And it's just like, wait, where, you know, how was this queue started? How did, you know, and I'm not saying I need special treatment, but really every single 3 and 4 day pass were sold out before I got the chance to buy tickets. And I clicked in 3 minutes after 12. Does that make sense to either one of you guys?
Nope.
None at all.
Now, I've heard the horror stories about San Diego Comic-Con in the past, but my understanding is that New York Comic-Con never had this issue.
Well, I mean, New York Comic-Con's attendance was bigger than San Diego's last year. We were over 150,000 at New York for the 4 days. But, true. You know, it what gets me more than anything else, by the time I got to buy tickets at, like, I think 2 o'clock, maybe it was 1:30, 2 o'clock, something like that, 4 day passes were gone. 3 day passes were gone. Saturday passes were gone. So I opted for a Thursday, a Friday, and a Sunday, which, okay, isn't the end of the world. I don't need to be there every single day. But now I'm also spending $140 for 3 days when I could have bought a 4 day pass for $115.
Mm-hmm.
So that also kind of, you know, it's like pouring salt in the wound. It's like, okay,
right,
you can't get what you wanted to, but now you're going to get them and you're going to pay a lot more for them. So I was like, yeah. Wow, that just really hurts. I mean, I just don't understand the queue process. I really don't. I mean, if there was 150,000 people that were buying tickets and they all got in there in the first 3 minutes ahead of me, okay, fine. I find that a little hard to believe, but okay. Chris, I know you tried to buy tickets. You didn't get in at all, right?
No, like you actually had to end up buying mine and then assigning them to me.
Right.
Which I kind of think is a cool idea.
Yeah, I, you know, that process worked pretty well. I assigned the 2 tickets to you for Friday and Sunday tonight. I basically put your name in, I put your fan verified email address in. That should be fine. I mean, it hasn't been approved yet, so hopefully it'll still work out pretty smoothly. But, mm-hmm. you know, that is a good way to do it. But, I mean, something seems wrong with the queue. If that was how far back that was, I don't know. I just feel like there was something bizarre going on.
Well, I didn't even get in until, I didn't click my link until 12:26. And I can only imagine how long it would have taken me to you know, get in, because mine was still in the queue whenever you messaged me and said that you had my ticket. So
right, yep.
I'm trying to see when I had. I feel like there's a much easier way to do this, and I mean, one person could have bought a maximum of 12 tickets, and I mean, I understand that, you know, you have to be fan verified, which technically is supposed to prevent scalpers, but there's people trying to scalp them on StubHub right now.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them out there. I mean, there was something, there was a news report yesterday, I think 4-day passes were going for $450 on StubHub.
Which is ridiculous, and you make a good point about the prices, too. Like, my original plan was to get a 3-day pass for, I think it was like $80 or $85.
Yeah, it was $85 for the 3-day. That would have been Friday, and Saturday, Sunday.
Now, I have a Friday and Sunday pass for $100.
Right.
So, it, you know, that doesn't even make really any bit of sense.
It's almost like it's adding insult to injury.
Is Sunday shorter? Is it like Celebration where Sunday is shorter?
Yes, and the fact that I think it ends at 5 instead of 7 or something like that.
Okay.
And there really isn't anything after. Like, there are some events happening at night on Friday and Saturday that really aren't part of Comic-Con, but are there in and amongst, you know, with the other stuff. Mm-hmm. But not part of your pass that you would use to get in.
Okay.
I just have a hard time with this, with the thought process of, you know, I looked back at my receipt. My receipt came back to me for the purchase at 2:09 p.m. Mm-hmm. So 2 hours after they went on sale, I finally got my order in, and everything I wanted was sold out.
Yep.
I just, oh, man, I wish I knew how many people got processed, if the queue really worked the way it was supposed to, nobody got ahead of anybody else.
I don't think it did, because I saw some people on Twitter say that they were, I think they were like sitting side by side or something, and they clicked their links at the same time. One of them got in 20 minutes before the other one.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, at some point during the process when we're going through the tickets, you know, it said 3 and 4 day were both at 75% sold, but the rest of the tickets were already allocated, meaning like somebody had started the process of checking out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, so how many people are checking out at the same time that caused these other, you know, whatever, how many tickets were to be assigned but not really finished purchasing yet? And it stayed that way for like an hour. I'm like, okay, so is it taking that long to check out? That doesn't make sense to me. A lot of this didn't make sense to me. I'm sure I'm going to go and have a good time, and it's going to be fun to be down there. But the whole process of this whole ticket thing just really stings a little bit right now. And granted, this is the first time I had to do this, because last 2 years I had press passes to go, which is great. You know, it didn't cost me anything, but it just seems very strange that they've done this way. And I mean, I guess it's hard to test a system online like that without having everybody online to order tickets. I mean, how do you really test that? It's why Apple servers crash every time they do a new iPhone release, and you end up spending all day online trying to get your order in. But
yeah.
But is there that much of a difference this year in how many people bought tickets versus last year? Because if there's not, then it's not really excusable.
I'm sorry, say that again. You broke up a little bit.
If there's, I'm curious as to what kind of difference there is between this year and last year as far as ticket sales, because if the numbers are comparable, then there's no excuse.
Yeah, and arguably, I don't know how they did the tickets last year. I mean, I know they weren't fan verified, but how were tickets sold? Were they sold at other outlets besides online? Because this year, they said the only place you could buy tickets was online through, I think, ShowClicks was the company doing the transactions for them. But I think last year you could buy them at Ticketmaster and a few other places.
I think they had one specific online vendor, and then I think they gave out tickets to Midtown Comics too.
Okay, maybe.
I think so, and maybe another place. I'm not too familiar with it, but I remember seeing that on the on some article I read.
Hmm. Well, I mean, at any rate, Chris, you and I are going, so we'll spend Friday and Sunday at New York Comic Con, seeing what we can see, and of course, buying up trinkets and collectible stuff that we probably shouldn't buy, but
yeah,
that'll be fun. This will be your first big con that's not a Star Wars con, right?
Yep.
Very cool. Very cool.
What I'm really curious about is how much less the vendors are going to make in revenue this year with me not going.
I heard some vendors pulled out already.
I bet. They're like, wait a minute, Eric's not going.
To be there.
Oh my gosh. There goes my profits for 2016. Yeah.
I bet your wife will be happy though.
Well, you see, it's kind of her fault that I didn't get in the queue to actually try to order tickets.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So she kind of feels a little bad right now.
So if we send you pictures of things we see and you'll say yes, buy it or not?
Pretty much. Yeah. Actually, in all seriousness, I think that like that might be my the thing. Like I might just give you some cash and have you do that, and my wife will probably be fine with it. Believe it or not. Cool. I will get a written letter from my wife that I will give you along with the cash, giving you permission to spend it.
I have approval to buy this.
Yes. Yes. Yes, you will have proof. Don't worry.
Very cool. Well, you know, like Eric knows from last year, there is just tons of vendors. I mean, well, it was fun to see vendors at Celebration last spring. This is just even more so because it's not just Star Wars stuff. There is so much other stuff to look at. And on top of that, the whole artist gallery area is just cool. We'll walk through and see all the artists and what's going on and what their special prints are for the convention and that kind of stuff. So yeah. I'm excited, but
yep.
I'm sure the bitter taste will.
And I won't get to see Sarah again.
Oh, I'll say hi for you.
Sarah Wilkinson. Yeah, but I can't get a hug.
I'll get a hug for you.
It won't be the same.
It will for me.
All right, fine.
I'll be good. No, I'm sorry.
I got to find out if Vanessa's going. Because if she is, she's probably going to be there Saturday, and I will probably have to find a way to like meet up with her at a restaurant afterwards or something to hang out.
And obviously include us, right?
Huh? Oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Sure. Unlike 2 years ago when Eric didn't invite me out to dinner with everybody from Rebels. I'm like, really?
Oh, Eric Geller.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought you meant me. I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't get to go to dinner with everybody from Rebels. What are you talking about?
Yeah, 2014 when I was down there, it was him and I doing your Comic-Con, and our schedules were a little bit off in this net. Once we got there, and he disappeared, and it was just, you know, him doing his thing, me doing my thing. And, you know, next morning we were, you know, at breakfast, we met coming in from the train. He's like, oh, yeah, no, I never got a hold of you last night. Yeah, we had dinner with, I'm like, really? Thanks. Thanks for including me with that.
Yeah, well.
Oh, well.
Little preview of Celebration there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So let's see what we have in the news this week.
We're 20 minutes into the episode. What do you mean? What do we have in the news this rant. Week?
Come on. You know.
That's true.
Didn't go on as long as some of your rants do.
Oh. Oh, the truth hurts.
It does. It does. Let's see. Okay, so the Academy Awards have invited some new members. Now, I assume this is the Academy Awards, not like the Military Academy for the Imperials, right?
I'm assuming this is the Academy of Film.
Okay. Well, they've invited some new members, and they're trying to get some more diversity into their ranks, which I guess they were pretty harshly criticized for in the last couple of years.
You could say that.
You know, yeah, a little bit. You know,
it was a little bit of a thing this year, yeah.
So let's see. Of the 683 new members they have, 46% are female. So not quite half, but, you know, you'd think half population, well, they're close. So it's better than past years, I suppose. And 41% of them are ethnic minorities. So that is good. The list includes John Boyega, Brie Larson, Emma Watson, Oscar Isaac. I'm going to butcher his first name here. Is it Idris Elba?
I think it's Idris.
I think it's Idris.
Okay. America Ferrera. Ice Cube. I didn't realize he was to be included, but okay, fine.
Yeah.
And Tina Fey.
He's been in films. He was in Straight Outta Compton.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, true.
I'm kidding. Okay, before anybody writes in, wasn't... Yeah. No, but he was in, like, Barbershop, and he was actually, like, in a kid's film, I think, too.
Ice Cube in a kid's film?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm telling you. I'm serious. Go look it up. IMDb.
I think he was, actually, because I think I saw that.
See?
But it was years ago.
Sometimes I forget how young Chris is. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Can I just say something about this list of people that you just mentioned?
Please do.
Like, you know, it's obviously it's a good thing that they now have 46% more female and 41% more ethnic minorities. But what I like about this list is that they are all legitimately good actors and actresses.
Mm.
Which I think is a good thing.
I mean, I don't know about the whole list of 683 of them, but...
Mm-hmm. But well, we didn't
just
see the
out of this list.
Mm-hmm.
So that's,
it's nice. It's also nice to see people like John Boyega getting on the list, too, who have not been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of these people have been around for a lot longer than he has. It's great to see him gain some recognition so early.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, do we think this is going to make a difference overall? I mean, when time comes for voting, when the Academy votes...
Yeah, what, I think so.
Do you think it's enough?
Is it enough?
Well, I guess the question will be, I mean, we don't know what the makeup of the whole Academy is right now. I mean, 46% of these new members were female, but what's the overall female percentage?
Yeah.
You just need to find that out because, you know, they have been getting a lot of flack for being a bunch of old white guys, you know, nominating movies.
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent question.
Well, we will try to track that down for you because I'm interested in that myself. I mean, you know, it's good to have this going in the right direction.
I will let you track that down because I still am almost completely apathetic toward the Academy. Like my interest in it extends to the newsworthiness of the events, but I still think that the entire Academy Awards situation and everything surrounding it is a bunch of people basically patting each other on the back. And I've never seen it as a legitimate representation of the best talent or the best selections of things.
Hmm. It really is about them celebrating themselves. But... it is newsworthy. It does, you know, bring some films to the forefront that may not have been, you know, in the public's eye. Because I know for the most part, when I see stuff that's nominated for Best Picture, I'm going, what was that? You know, they're usually obscure things that didn't make the mainstream.
Okay. So, well, I mean, yeah, it's a good way to raise
that
awareness.
Thing, I find it being good at putting movies out there for us.
Okay. Yeah. So in that regard of raising awareness, it is useful, but it's still, I still find it kind of a charade of, I don't know, of self-congratulating. I don't know. It is what it is. But yes, it does have its use.
Okay. Well, we'll agree to disagree.
Well,
no, I mean,
that works. I mean, I'm right and you're wrong. And it's not the first time that it's happened on the network.
Wow.
And probably not even this show.
You know what? I'm going to play the age card here and say, you know what?
Oh.
Listen to your elders.
Oh, I've never had you play the age card before.
I know.
I feel like I'm losing out.
I feel I get some use out of that.
Hey, if I want you to buy me stuff at New York Comic Con, even with my money, I probably better be nice to you.
Yo, or just give me some money. I'll make sure you get something.
Yeah, sure. Hey, I got you a picture I took of someone. Don't know who it is.
It's signed.
Someone in a Spider-Man costume, or at least it looks like it might be Spider-Man.
Because you know, we'll go to Times Square, take pictures with us with the characters there.
Oh, jeez.
Give them to Eric and say, and we'll sign them too with our own handwriting.
Sounds good. Eric,
it looks like he signed it Lusecki, but no, it's really him. Yeah.
Hey, Eric, these are actual tourists that were there in New York City during Comic-Con. Nowhere near the con, but still, actual tourists.
Oh, let's see. What else do we have here? Screen Rant had an interesting article on the top grossing actors and actresses. Scarlett Johansson is now the top grossing actress in history. I find this a little bit suspect, though, because, I mean, she's been in some big movies that really got her numbers up there. But it's not really that she's the draw. Right? I mean,
no.
You know, things like Captain America are, you know, counted in here, obviously. And, you know, she's made $3.3 billion so far for movies that she's been in. But,
here's what's weird about this to me. Okay, so obviously, a lot of these numbers are coming in from the Avengers movies.
Right.
Okay. So that is going to push her ahead of a lot of her competition. But she's the 10th overall, if you include male and female. And I kind of feel like, I mean, I'd have to look at the entire top 10 list. The article that I got came from Screen Rant, and this only listed a handful of different people. We've got basically the top five, and we know that she's number 10. But where do the other people in the Marvel films fall in this list?
Right, yeah. Who was she sharing the screen with in these biggest movies of all time?
Right. I mean, she's got $3.3 billion. Robert Downey Jr. is number five at $3.9 billion. So they're really, really close. So I don't know. But still, I mean, it's still awesome that even if she's not the main draw, I mean, there's... You can... Wow. Are you okay?
Yeah, sorry about that. My cat just knocked something over here.
You know, I could help you with your cat problem.
No, you can't.
I could get you a dog.
No, you know, my cats are very, very lovable.
All right. Oh, we came home from our main vacation. I'm using air quotes here. Vacation. With two new pets. Hermit crabs.
I saw that on Facebook. Yes, I did.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, my son's in a shell that's painted with the Spider-Man logo. It's a mess. Anyway, so back to
Spider-Man logo. Awesome.
Yeah. So it's awesome because she's a great actress.
Mm.
And I'm glad to see her at the top of the list as opposed to other options. It's sad, though, because like you said, the movies that propelled her to the top of this list are movies in which she's not really a main draw. And yet, the flip side of that is that she is one of the more memorable characters in a lot of these movies. Like, I thought that she stood out in Captain America 2. She was definitely a secondary character as far as the narrative goes, but I thought she stood out. I thought she also... played a memorable role in Captain America 3, Civil War, mm-hmm. the Avengers films. Like, she's not just a background character. And for the amount of screen time she has, she demonstrates a presence. I mean, if you look at the relationship between her and Banner in Avengers 2, I thought she sold it really, really well for the amount of time that she had on screen to do it. So, you know, kudos there. But yeah, you bring up a really good point. But your point is really sad, though, and it's true. It's like
It's like I'm looking at the top 10 here, and this is actually on IMDb site. Harrison Ford's number one, Samuel L. Jackson's number two, Morgan Freeman, Tom Hanks, Robert Downey Jr., Eddie Murphy, Tom Cruise, Johnny Depp, Michael Caine and Scarlett Johansson at 10. And I'm looking at these actors. I'm like, okay, they've done some significant movies. And each and every one of these guys was a lead in a lot of these movies that they were in. Until you come to Scarlett Johansson, who probably wasn't the lead in most of the stuff that she did, that got her to this point, you know? It's almost like it seems like they really need to redo this listing with, you know, only movies that they were a lead in, I guess, would be a better way to do this, if that makes sense to you guys. I mean, you know, if you're going to count, you know, the money that you brought in from a huge movie that you had a small role in versus somebody who was below you in a list that was, you know, that they carried each movie they were in and got them to that same point, it doesn't really equate to being the same thing.
Well, I tell you what, if you do that, Morgan Freeman's going to be out of the list. And right now he's number three.
He's number three, yep.
Yeah, $4.4 billion. Mm-hmm. If you only put the ones where he is like a major character,
yep.
I'm not sure he'd make the top 100.
Well, I mean, but that would be a better way to do this.
I don't know.
I mean, you know, Tom Hanks, he's carried most of the movies he's been in.
Yeah.
Sam Jackson, I can't say he's really carried a lot of them, but.
Well, no, Pulp Fiction. I would say he had a major role in Captain America 2, though I wouldn't say he carried it, but it was more of an ensemble film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean
they, you know, the list stuff he's done here that are kind of prominent ones of saying, you know, Jungle Fever, Patriot Games, Amos and Andrew, True Romance, Jurassic Park, you know.
The Star Wars prequels.
What's that?
The Star Wars prequels. I'm sure that.
Yeah, hurt. That doesn't hurt him, you know. Yeah. But was he a main draw for that? No. You know, I mean, whereas Tom Hanks, pretty much everything he's been in, he is the main guy.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise, same thing. Johnny Depp. Probably the same thing. So I don't know. I mean, I think this list is good. It's kind of neat to see, but I think it's a little flawed.
I think the biggest flaw about the list is that Cameron Diaz is number two. I am not.
For females.
For females. I am not a fan at all. Whatsoever. Just throwing that out there.
I could take her or leave her.
I would love to take her somewhere to leave her.
Yeah, leave her, yeah. So let's see, what else we have in the list there? Talk about Harrison Ford being number one. Anthony Daniels is number 15.
And what I find funny about this is that, as it was pointed out in Screen Rant, their article there, most people have never seen his face. I don't know that he's been in anything that helped him on this list where he's, I mean, I know he's done stage work and stuff, but
right.
I don't know that he's had any box office releases besides the Star Wars films. And
I never thought about that.
Yeah. That's really kind of a strange statistic when you think about it.
You know, in fact, everything, when I'm looking through the list on IMDb, everybody has a write up about, you know, what they've done, what their major movies were. You get to him. It's blank. There's literally no write-up at all for him.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
Just says, you know, actor Star Wars Episode 4, New Hope, total grossing $3.162 billion.
I mean, it is a good performer. He is a good performer. I said that wrong. He is a really good performer. There's an extent to which it's kind of sad that he's not more well-recognized for some of his other roles. And yet when you look at his performance as C-3PO, the body language he exhibits as C-3PO is really good. The C-3PO outfit, a lot of people assume that a lot of Anthony Daniels' movements are because the costume was so prohibitive. And that's not the case at all. The costume is very flexible. I mean, he could do yoga in the costume. He talks about the fact that he's got all kinds of range of movement in that costume. He plays the role the way he does specifically because that's C-3PO. That's, I mean, he's a robot. So you do have to give him credit for that aspect of his portrayal of C-3PO. But yeah, it is a weird kind of thing that he's in. You know, he's the top 15 box office grossing actor of all time, and we've never seen his face on film.
That is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Oh, very interesting. Well, I think that's all I've got for news here. So is there anything in the what were they thinking section this week?
Yeah, we got a couple of things. For the news this week, it was a lot more of a kind of a lightning round sort of thing. There was a lot of little tidbits. But we do have a couple of things for the what were they thinking. Finding Dory, obviously, was a big deal at the box office. And there is a theater in, where is it? Concord, California, where apparently they realized that it was a really big draw. So they took some of the other, some of their other theaters and opened up the film in those two. Yeah, their other theaters as in their individual screen rooms. And so the way it works apparently these days, and I'm not a projectionist and I don't know anything about this stuff, but I'm reading the explanation of basically the after action report. And you select the stuff on a computer that for digital projection anyway, that then sends it to the projector and puts it up on the screen. They accidentally selected the wrong thing. So the families and the kids that are sitting down to watch Finding Dory are greeted with the red band trailer for Sausage Party.
Oh, that's great.
Which I don't, I'm not sure if you remember the red band trailer for Sausage Party, but I think it broke the record for the number of F-bombs dropped in a movie trailer. In fact, there are a lot of movies that have been rated R for language that had fewer F-bombs in the entire hour and a half long film run than this trailer did.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So they kind of apologized and had to explain, no, we do not have this trailer attached to this film. This is not what, when you come to our theater, this is not what to expect. We are really sorry.
Well, they're both cartoons, right?
I mean, there you go. I mean, it was, to be fair, it was an honest mistake. What can you do? It's bound to happen at some point, but wow.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah, that's a bad one. The other one, as far as something more discussion-worthy, if you guys have, Chris, I don't expect you will, but... Lost in Space, a very old television series. And in fact, it was before my time. And Lou, to be fair, I'm guessing it was probably before your time as well. But you probably have seen more episodes than Chris and I put together.
I saw it in reruns, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it was on when I was a kid, no.
Okay. But it was probably in syndication by that point. I mean, I remember it was on in syndication when I was a kid, but it was syndication. Yeah. And I just never got into it, but it was an old black and white TV series that kind of tried to ride the Star Trek. It seemed like it kind of tried to be a more family friendly Star Trek.
Yeah. First episode was September 15th, 1965. So a couple years before I was born. Yes.
Yeah. So they are. Oh, and then there was the film that was done a few years back with who was it? Matt LeBlanc. From Friends?
Yeah, he was in it.
Yeah.
The only good thing about that was who played Zachary Smith?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you any character names. Wasn't William Hurt in it?
Yeah, he was in it. Yep.
And the younger girl from Party of Five?
Who
I don't know.
Was who played the dirty cop in Leon?
Gary Oldman was in that?
Yeah, he played Zachary Smith.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Talk about a bad career choice.
You know, I actually remember seeing that movie. Believe it or not.
I remember seeing it, and the only thing I can remember about the experience was shaking my head back and forth afterwards, asking myself why I just sat through it.
See, I liked it, but I was like six.
I didn't mind but, you know, I wouldn't rush out to see it again.
Well, then I would like to know your thoughts on the fact that Netflix is now going to be releasing it as a series in 2018. Not the original one, but a new series.
I didn't hear anything about this. I mean, this to me is interesting. Netflix has done some great stuff lately. You know, if they could pull this off, I'd be all ready to see this. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'd give it a chance because I like the concept of Lost in Space. I mean, I don't know how well that would play today. It's a little different than it was then. You know, space travel on TV is a little different than it was in 1965. But
yeah, thank goodness for that.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I think this would be cool. I mean, Netflix had a pretty good track record the last 2 years or so on what they brought to the screen, mm-hmm. right? You guys have liked what they've done lately.
Yeah. Yep. But I guess it kind of goes back to the whole, why can't we get new stuff? Like it feels like they're cashing in on a known franchise in order to spin something new. Why can't they just spin something new?
I didn't hear you say the same comment about Voltron.
They have spun new things, new versions of Voltron. So to be fair,
but I'm saying, but that is a property they brought back and they've just redid it again recently on Netflix. That's not a new concept.
No.
I mean, you're right. I'm just playing
okay. I mean, that's,
I would
that's
like
a valid
to see
point.
New content, but if it was a good series back in the day and they do a good job with it, I'd be all over watching that again.
Okay. Yeah. You have to admit though, the track record of reboots has been less successful than it has been successful.
Yeah, but I always hold out hope thinking about things like Battlestar Galactica, you know, where yeah. they did a good job with that, you know. I'd like to see a version of Lost in Space done as well as they did Battlestar Galactica and see it on TV now. I would be all over that because I have fond memories of watching the reruns of Lost in Space as a kid. I'm sure it wouldn't hold up now if I watched the episode. Now I'd be like, oh my God.
So if I gave you examples, if I gave you 10 examples of miserably failed 80s properties, could you give me 3 successful ones other than Battlestar Galactica?
On the spur of the moment, probably not, no.
Okay. All right. I won't I won't test you on it then.
Thank you.
I just
hey. I mean, I see what you're saying. I mean, I would like to see new stories as opposed to older stuff. I'd like to see them, you know, like we just got the, you know, Expanse. As yeah. a TV series, which is based yes. on a new story, you know, that's great to have.
But you are correct that Netflix has an excellent track record. I mean, if someone can pull it off.
They've done a great job with the Marvel stuff. I just started watching Voltron the other night. It's been pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So.
Oh, the way I have a question, actually.
Okay.
Speaking of Voltron.
Is this going to be spoilers?
No, not really. Okay. Just a character thing from new versus old.
Okay.
I don't remember the original, like the opening of Voltron back in, you know, when the cartoons were on back in the day. Mm-hmm. So I don't remember how the whole first episode kind of happened. But the characters that were in the Lions in the series that we had back in what, the '80s or nineties, wasn't Princess Alora, wasn't she one of the Lion pilots?
Yes. So what happened was there, and keep in mind, this is back in the day before DVDs, even before VHS tapes. So if you missed something or came into a series too late in the series, you didn't get to watch all the episodes. You had to mm-hmm. religiously watch it, including all the reruns, in hopes that they would re-air the pilot.
Right, and they didn't air them in order anymore either.
Right, that's
it was all random because there was no they actively discouraged shows from having story arcs.
Right,
because they didn't want to have to show them in sequence in syndication.
But a lot of Japanese shows did have story arcs, and so that was one of the things. Voltron, at least for the first series, for the first, I don't know, handful of episodes while they were establishing it, there was a little bit of a story arc, and then they went into the Monster of the Week thing. But I want to say it was the pilot of the Blue Lion got captured. And I think he came back like a few seasons later, but Princess Alora replaced him, and I think it was in the Blue Lion.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think she was in the Blue Lion, but I couldn't remember if Yeah, I never knew that it was a pilot that got captured. Yeah. Okay, that's cool.
There was a pilot. He was introduced in the first episode, and like by the second or third episode, he was captured, and then you never really saw him again until really late in the series. They brought him back just kind of as an event. And I don't know what happened to him after that. I don't know if he took his place back in the Lion or if they killed him off or what happened. Again, it was one of those previously on Voltron, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. That happened? Yeah, so it was so that was one of the major changes. The guy who's currently in the Red Lion was basically the pilot of the Black Lion. The guy who's currently in the Blue Lion would have been in the Red Lion, and then Allura would have been in the Blue Lion, replacing a different Blue Lion pilot.
Mm, okay.
I think his name was Sven or something. Yeah, so that was a major character difference. And then, of course, without any spoilers, there's a character currently in the show who was in the original show, but is a different character. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for clearing that for me.
Yeah, I'm sure that was helpful.
Yeah.
Well, not the second part.
It helped me out. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so back to the point. You're right. Voltron is an example where I do kind of have to backpedal a little bit. So, touche.
I like it when you backpedal. That's good.
I figured.
So I guess that's all we have for that. Oh, Chris, you want to bring us to the lightning round?
Sure. All right. So first off, Preacher has been renewed for a second season, and that's the AMC series, right?
Yes.
Yes, I think it is. Okay.
12 Monkeys, which is a show I really need to watch, has been renewed for a third season.
Yes, you do.
Archer has been renewed for 3 more awesome seasons.
Yes! You caught that I put awesome there in the show notes.
Right? So you can tell who wrote the show notes this one, yeah.
It's italicized, so you have to read the... Anyway, go on.
Captain America Civil War comes to DVD and Blu-ray on September 13th, and it will include over an hour of bonus material, audio commentary, and a sneak peek about the making of Doctor Strange. Mad Max Fury Road is getting a black and white chrome edition. Silver Sable?
Silver Sable.
May be getting a movie in Fox's Spider-Man universe. Disney confirms Wreck-It Ralph 2 is coming, and they're trying to get Nintendo on board this time around. Lionsgate is acquiring Stars for $4.4 billion. Con Man is now available on Comic-Con HQ, and plans for that service start at $5, and the first month is free. And finally, the new Star Trek universe gets an official name. It's called the Kelvin Timeline.
See, I feel like I should have put that in the What Were They Thinking?
Why?
The Kelvin Timeline?
It's a perfectly fine name for something. It's named after the ship that Kirk's father was on. That caused the time to skew off into a different direction. What's wrong with it? I mean, just because it's a unit of temperature measurement. I mean,
yeah, that's part of it. I'm thinking. Wait, so how hot is this timeline? We lost Lou's audio again.
Oh man.
There. We'll fix it that way. Man, this is starting to become a recurring theme.
Yeah. Did you hear the weird breathing?
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
Okay, I'm back.
That was weird.
Well, what happened?
Yes.
Did my mic go staticky again?
Yes.
Yeah. And really? There was some weird breathing, too.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with your computer there, Lou, or with you.
My computer's old like me, so.
I guess so.
Wow.
Man. All right, well.
Sorry about that.
It's all right. We got through it. We're okay now.
You're getting good at that eject button for me, aren't you?
I didn't have it up. I had to go, like, hunt through Skype for it. I'm like, oh, shoot. I need to start having that handy. But
sorry
anyhow.
About that.
Yeah. where were we? Lightning round. Anything else about the lightning round that?
What is a black and white Chrome edition?
Oh, it's so there was an edit of Mad Max Fury Road apparently that was all black and white. And who was it that directed that? Was it Rodriguez?
I don't know.
No. Okay, now I feel like an idiot because I'm supposed to know these things. Anyway, so he had an edit of it that was black and white, and he loved it. And he was hoping that it would get released someday, so now it is going to get released. And I saw a couple of stills from it, and it looks really good. Like, I can see where this would add some artistic value to the film.
Yeah, actually, I pulled up a story on IO9, and yeah, it still looks amazing. I mean, the contrast of the black and white looks just amazing.
Yeah.
George Miller was the director.
George Miller. Duh. Yeah.
I'd go see that. That's
yeah. Cool. I think it would add a lot to it. I'm not a big fan of things being done in black and white, but I can see where in this case it would be a benefit.
Well, I mean, usually movies in black and white don't have the contrast that this picture. I mean, this picture looks like a really nice high contrast, you know, photo you put on a wall. And movies don't usually have that kind of high contrast in black and white.
Right.
Yeah, cool.
What else? Silver Sable.
Who is that?
That is she is a female gun.
And she's silver.
What's that?
And she's silver.
And she's silver. No, she's a female, basically a mercenary, a gun for hire in the Marvel Universe. Kind of more of a Spider-Man character. But she has a uniform that's all white, like all white, with a white headband, white hair. It's a very 80s sort of thing. I'm not sold on this being a good idea. Not only because she's just such an unheard of character, but I don't necessarily think she's a good character. And I put Fox's Spider-Man. I guess it's Sony that has Spider-Man. I don't think she's really something that they should focus on right now. I mean, there are so many other Spider-Man characters that have some substance to them. And to me, she just never, ever came across as a character with any legitimate substance. But, you know, maybe they've got a good concept and some good writers and they'll prove me wrong. I don't know.
So I looked up that character in on Google real quick, and I vaguely remember seeing this her in the animated series.
Oh, okay.
So,
do you remember anything about her from the animated series?
Nope.
Well, there you go. So, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, box office results, I guess.
Yeah. Take it away.
Well, Finding Dory apparently is doing really good. It's held its number one spot. It beat out Independence Day Resurgence. So it brought in another $73 million in its second weekend. So it's currently at $286.3 million for 2 weeks.
That's a pretty good haul.
Yeah. Independence Day Resurgence only brought in $41 million in its opening weekend, which I think is way, way below what their estimates were and what they were hoping for.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Central Intelligence.
Story of my life.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris.
Oh, was that yours on the movie draft?
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, Chris. What else? Central Intelligence did, I think it did okay. A third place in its second week, $18.2 million for a total of almost $70 million in 2 weeks. So that's good. The Shallows brought in $16.8 million in its opening week. Not so good.
Yeah.
And The Conjuring 2 in its third week, still hanging in there in the top five at $7.7 million for a total of $86.9 million.
Doesn't seem too bad for a horror movie.
No, I think somebody there is pretty happy. So, that's it for the box office results. New in theaters, we've got The Legend of Tarzan coming up. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not that excited about this one. Neither are the critics. 33% on Rotten Tomatoes. The Purge, Election Year, with 64%. And BFG, which is probably, I think, going to take number one. That's The Big Friendly Giant. And it's got a 71% on Rotten Tomatoes. DVD, this past week, we had Kung Fu Panda with 86%. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot with 68%. And coming up this next week, we have a bunch of stinkers.
To say the least.
Yeah, we've got the Divergent series, Allegiant, at 13%. We've got Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice at 27%, which is already available digitally, by the way. And we have Term Life, the one with Vince Vaughn and Haley Steinfeld, at 0%.
How do you get 0%? Come on.
I'm guessing there's been one critic who's reviewed it and he or she didn't like it. That's the only thing I can figure. Because it didn't look like it was that bad.
No. And Chris, that was yours in the draft, right?
It was.
Yeah, I figured.
Oh, did you get Term Life?
I did.
I had tried to get it. I
think I got it.
Yeah, I think you probably did. I wanted it. I thought it looks... I still think it looks good. I still want to see it.
Mm-hmm. I like Haley Steinfeld, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I picked up Batman versus Superman digitally in iTunes, and this is the extended cut, and it runs a little over 3 hours. I think it's 3 hours and 2 minutes. And so upon repeat viewing, I will say that I still think Ben Affleck is the best Batman ever. I still like what they did with Wonder Woman. And I think that what they added to the film, while it destroyed the pacing for the first hour and a half, I think it added a lot to the story.
Okay.
So I think that the Ultimate Edition is definitely a step up. I think it helps.
And how long is that?
Whether it saves the film or not, I think it's going to be up for debate. But it's 3 hours and 2 minutes.
That's a long time.
It is not a short film. But still, it's I think it's definitely an improvement. So.
Okay. Something to look forward to, I suppose.
Yep. And that's all I got.
Okay. I guess that's all I've got, too. Chris, you have anything else you want to add in?
I went to see Now You See Me Too
this past
weekend.
How was that?
I enjoyed it. I was a huge fan of the first one, and while I can see why this one wasn't as well received, I still had a good time with it.
Good.
So, that is the only movie on my movie draft that I was able to actually see, so, yeah.
Yeah, it looked good. I liked the first one, so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, if you liked the first one, you'll definitely like this one. And it branches out a little bit more.
Okay.
And one thing I will say, too, is that I can't remember the actress's name off the top of my head. The one that was in the first one, and she's not in this one because she was pregnant during time of filming.
Isla Fisher.
Yes. The way they explained away her character was pretty good, and the girl they got to replace her is a solid character. So
nice.
She fills in really, really well and adds a pretty good dynamic to the team. So I enjoyed the film, and if anyone else is in need of something good to watch and it's still in your theaters, go see it.
Wow. Okay.
Cool. I'll put that on my list. Okay, so I guess that's about it. So if you have any feedback for us, you want to get a hold of us, tell us that we're right about some things and maybe not sort about other things, feel free to send us an email, outerrim@randomchatter.com is probably the best way to send in your information to us.
You can find us online. We have our main website, randomchatter.com. We are on social media, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. I will be updating that a little bit more often than I was before, so that's a plus for anyone who follows us there. You can follow the show on Twitter at Outer Rim Podcast. You can find the network at Random Chatter. I am at The Curse of Chris. Lou, where are you?
Just my name, Lou Secchi, L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I.
And Eric?
I am at Eric Blythe. That's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E. And you can find the entire Random Chatter Network over at randomchatter.com. We've got the main show, Echo Based, Outer Rim, Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity. I should be able to do this by heart now without having to look at the list. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, The Retro Convo, The Sabacc Table, and very soon, a little something coming up by yours truly, Chris.
Yes.
Do we have a release date for it yet or not?
No, we still have to record our actual first episode, so probably sometime in the next 2 weeks, I'd say.
All right. Well, the Chordcast, C-H-O-R-D, our first music podcast on the Random Chatter Network, will be debuting soon. And our Patreon donors should be able to listen to it right now over at patreon.com.
And you can spread the word about both the show and the network, as well as everything else. You can leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. That helps us get the word out about the show and the network. And tell your friends about us.
And, of course, if you like listening to the show on the podcast, you can listen to us live. We do Tuesday nights at 10 p.m., Thursdays at 9. You can find us at randomchatter.com/live. You can also find us on Ustream. Just search for Random Chatter, and you'll find us on there. And if you want to listen to it on Ustream without ads, do it on one of the mobile devices.
And once again, we want to give a shout-out to our Patreon donors. We really appreciate all of the support that our listeners have given us through Patreon. We don't have advertising on the show. We don't have a big owner running multiple websites to help support us anymore like we did over on the Forcecast. So everything we do here, it's just us on our own and you helping support us. So thank you to each and every one of our listeners out there. If you'd like information on how to get involved with the network, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. We've got some information there. We've got different tiers of support. We just lowered the level to get into our Slack channel. Used to be $10. We lowered it down to $8. We dropped it by 20% to make it a little bit easier for people to get in there because we realized it's a popular feature and it's a lot of fun. It's about the only joy I get of going into work anymore is getting to talk with both the staff and our audience members that are in the Slack channel. A special shout out to Joel, Joe, both Jareds, the other Eric that spells his name with a K, which is awesome, Bradley, Chad, Kyle, Carrie, Morgan, Chickafant, The Blake and Sal Show, Alex, Jeremy, and Tim. Special thanks to all of them and really to all of our donors. We would not be able to keep the lights on without you all. If you'd like more information, again, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter.
Yeah, we really do appreciate that, guys. That's really awesome. So until next time, I think that's all we have for this week. We look forward to coming back at you again next week. Take care.
The Force will be with you always.